This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. When you think about bullies, you probably think of a schoolyard, right? But adults are sometimes bullied at work. And a recent study shows women and minorities are most likely to be targets. Joining me now are study authors Brandon Attell from the Health Policy Center at Georgia State University. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And also Linda Treiber, professor of sociology at Kennesaw State University. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Celeste.
So, Brandon, I mean, I feel like we pretty much know what bullying at school looks like. What is bullying at work?
Bullying at work really broadly refers to any kind of long-term negative acts that are specifically directed at individuals in the workplace. And this is typically done from a top-down kind of approach from supervisors down to the people that they're managing.
And how often, Linda, then how often do we see this? Do we have any idea how common workplace bullying is?
Well, it's very common, and I don't think we have the true incidence or prevalence of workplace bullying because a lot of people they're hesitant to report it. You know, they don't want to look like someone's picking on them or look weak, but when we do a behavioral inventory, it's something like 1 in 5.
1 in 5 people.
Mm-hmm.
That is a high amount. And the other thing that we found, Linda, is that if you are the victim of bullying, it has all kinds of both physical and mental impacts, correct?
Absolutely. And it's just upsetting to think about how bullying at work can have big impacts on your health. In other words, your blood pressure can go up, your stress level will be high, and these all affect, you know, the whole body because of the release of the cortisol hormones and the fight or flight syndrome.
And eventually, yeah, possibly even lead to cardiovascular disease.
Absolutely. Stroke, heart attack, things like that.
And Brandon, in addition to what happens to the victim, there are effects on the organization. I mean, what happens to the organization as a whole when there's incidents of bullying?
There absolutely is an effect on the organization. Some of that is part of the culture. So you kind of can create a negative workplace culture when that happens. But there's also an issue of very high turnover among people who are bullied. I mean, if you think about it, people are not having good experiences at work. They want to move somewhere else to get away from that experience. And it's very costly from an HR perspective. Whenever a company loses an employee, the time spent on replacing that individual, finding someone else who's appropriate to fill the shoes and the work that they were carrying it out. So it really is not only an individual issue, but also a workplace organizational issue as well.
What about the other people who are not the victims? Are they also adversely impacted by just being present when bullying is going on?
There certainly could be somewhat of a carryover effect in terms of being witness to that and having to see those things and having to contemplate those issues of, when is this point, do I stand up and mm-hmm. say something? Some people may certainly be in fear of losing their own job if they don't find themselves in a workplace environment that lends itself to actually being able to stand up and say something.
But we don't know for sure. We don't have the data on that particular part, right?
Not on that particular part of it, correct.
So, Linda, then, how does one solve this, first of all? Is this just a matter of getting rid of one bad actor?
No, I think there's a lot of structural issues in place. You know, if we have a workplace where that's been sort of the workplace culture, where the new person sort of takes a bit of hazing, or if people are allowed to pick on people that they perceive as either powerless or maybe even too powerful. So you have to set the tone from above. But unfortunately, a lot of the people that are doing the bullying are those in positions of power themselves. So I think stronger, just getting to people's understanding of this is harmful for the whole organization and then maybe putting in place remedies for this kind of thing.
Brandon, let me play you this little clip. This went viral. It's a sort of behind the scenes from Channel 9 News in Australia. It was a full 2 minutes long, but this has been pointed out as an example of workplace bullying.
I need Julie to put a jacket on because we're all in white. I asked her before we came on. Julie, you need to put a jacket on.
Flat out, I haven't had time. Does someone?
I told you 2 hours ago. We know
Amber,
in chat room.
This is not. So I'm sorry. I've been flat out.
Well,
honestly.
I'll call wardrobe and we'll get something.
No, if you give me a second, if we can ask. I'm not sure who your lineup is today. If there's just a jacket floating around out there, ask Danica.
Unless you want to run down and see if there's a jacket.
No, you're right. No, you're right because you told me it's fine, Sandy. But there can't be three of us.
No.
And I've made this clear 2.5 hours ago.
was actually a nicer portion of the video. What can you do? Is there anything you can do in the moment when something is happening to, de-escalate or?
I would say so. It sounded like in this situation, this was an instance where colleagues were perhaps disagreeing about what a person was wearing or should be wearing in the workplace. And I would say in that situation, it also sounded like the person who was experiencing that issue tried to defer it by saying, you know, don't focus on this.
Right.
And that's definitely a starting point, I think.
Did not work in this video, if you saw the whole thing.
I didn't, no. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's tough in those situations. I don't think that there's a clear-cut right or wrong way to go about doing things. I think that the best you can do is, if you do have that power, to stick up and say, you know, let's focus on the work at hand, and, you know, I am appropriately dressed, let's move on.
Mm-hmm. So we have one of the things that came out of this study is this result that women and minorities are more likely to be targets of bullying than others, Linda. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like I can make assumptions about why that is, but do we know why that is?
Well, and some of it has to do with the context of the workplace, but when you're the most visible person at your work, say you're of a racial or ethnic or religious or national origin minority, then you are more visible, you're more likely to be looked at and scrutinized just because you stick out. And sometimes this can be very detrimental. Sometimes it even seems like you're always being asked for the black opinion or the woman's opinion if you're one of the few people in the minority group at your work. So that's part of the issue. And then part of the issue is that we still haven't quite accepted a very diverse workplace, which is really unfortunate because people suffer when they stand out. And this is just, it's been something that's been taking a long period of time to get to where we need to be with this.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Linda Triber. She is a professor at Kennesaw State University, and also Brandon Attell from Georgia State University. Now, Brandon, I don't want to speak for a certain portion of the population, but I can kind of hear their voices, their pushback in my head saying maybe there's too many people. If one in five people are being bullied, that's a huge number. Maybe some people are just too sensitive. How do you separate someone who maybe is a little bit sensitive from actual bullying?
Well, I think that part of the challenge in answering that is the fact that workplace bullying is probably... Some people don't want to label themselves as having experienced that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we think that, you know, if you think about the American workplace, people spend 40 hours a week here, and we anticipate some kind of, or more. We anticipate some kind of hard work ethic, you know, come in, do what you have to do, deal with any kind of, you know, these hazing and really small things are almost an anticipated part of joining the workforce. You're going to be there. I would say that to have that kind of approach to thinking about it is a little bit unfortunate to go that way because of the longstanding health issues, the stress and the cardiovascular disease and things like that that are linked to it. And so I think it's just a little bit about having somewhat of a mind shift of recognizing that there is a line where, you know, some kind of joking or teasing might be an anticipated part of being in the workforce, having friends you can do that with, but there's a line that it crosses, and at that point it has to be addressed and taken seriously.
I would imagine, Linda, that line is not always easy to detect, but it seems like if you're joking around and the same person is always the butt of the joke, that might be edging over that line into bullying.
Yes, exactly so. And, you know, I think work can be, it can be a home away from home, if you know what I mean. You know, it's like a heartless world out there, and then work can be your haven. And so when work goes bad, then that makes so much of your life, you know, really bad. And so we also see a lot of social support at work. So if you do have a supportive network, that can buffer a lot of those negative effects of the teasing and the ostracism. But, yeah, it is a fine line, and sometimes just going with the flow will help you fit in. But at what point do you have to stop and say, enough, be assertive, and stand up for yourself? And so that's something that, you know, workplace education can help address.
And in the 40 seconds that we have left, Brandon, if you're in this position, would you tell someone to quit?
I don't think so, especially in the given job economy that we're looking at right now in our country. I think that it's not necessarily an individual responsibility to take control of what's going on. This should definitely be something that organizations look into, that managers and supervisors are aware of.
That's Brandon Attell. He's with the Health Policy Center at Georgia State University. And Linda Treiber is a professor of sociology at Kennesaw State. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.